Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Our friend Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is in studio. Paul, welcome. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Jim. Great to be here. And 2020, hard to believe it.
Well, the Rio Grande Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute dedicated to increasing liberty and the prosperity for all of New Mexico citizens. That sounds like a big task.
It is a very big task. And New Mexico, quite frankly, when it comes to economic policy issues, hasn't made a lot of progress over the years, not for the lack of trying on our part and many other folks' parts, but New Mexico's leadership politically, and all too many folks think that we just get more money from Washington, we get money out of the ground, we don't do anything to actually expand our opportunities and options, and we need to do better job. Right now we have a great opportunity with that oil and gas revenue flowing into the state and the generally very strong U.S. economy.
Paul, tell me how New Mexico did in 2019. You are constantly evaluating policies and bills introduced by our legislators. You also look a little bit about what our state senators and legislators are doing individually in terms of their own communities. You're looking at what the governor puts forth in terms of an agenda. How did 2019 end up overall?
Well, in the words of Dickens, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I really mean that in the most basic sense of the word. In terms of public policy, 2019 was a very tough year. The legislature passed a lot of bad economic policies, film subsidies, expansion, massive spending, 12% budget growth, tax increases, $1 billion surplus and still raise taxes. Their minimum wage increase starting today, or well, yesterday, January the 1st, it started to take effect. And, you know, you're going to cut the bottom rungs off the employment ladder for a lot of people. And the Energy Transition Act. So that's the one that shuts down the Four Corners, the San Juan Generating Station power plant. So a lot of bad policies, but great sources of money, great news coming out of the Permian Basin in New Mexico, record revenues, record oil production has kept New Mexico going along with that strong national economic picture. So, you know, in many ways, the bad policies have not been felt yet because we've been benefiting from this oil and gas production and the strong national economy as well.
Paul, in past shows, you visited with us last year several times, and hopefully you're going to be on the show quite frequently this year. We want to get the word out. Part of the reason that you exist is you want voters to have the information they need.
Absolutely.
And so your website, why don't you give that to us so that people know where they can go, and you have a lot of information about all of these issues on your website.
Yeah, riograndefoundation.org is our main website, and that provides a link to something called the Freedom Index, which in particular allows individuals to track their legislators. They can see how they voted in 2019, 2018, and I think we have 2017 and 2016 also up. So you can not just look at how they voted, which is great, but you can also look at our interpretation based on, you know, several economic freedom aspects. You know, how did these people vote on the issues that are really going to matter to New Mexicans and their bottom line and, you know, their economic freedom? So we're going to be tracking that in something close to real time during the session. So you'll see a bill going through the process and you'll be able to tell who's voting which way on it and hopefully touch base with your legislators and elected officials and really let them know what you think of what they're doing.
Okay, so right now, based on whatever district you live in, you can find out who your legislator is. And do you recommend actually calling those people directly?
During the session, you can call their offices in Santa Fe. You know, this is a part-time, unpaid legislature. They get something called a per diem, so they get money for traveling to Santa Fe. Further you travel, the more you get. And then you get a day-to-day expense reimbursement from the state of New Mexico. So it is a unique system in New Mexico in terms of our legislature. They're not full-time, obviously. There's some state legislatures which meet all throughout the year. Our legislature meets either 60 days, which was last year in 2019, or 30 days. And this is a very short, quick sprint of a session. It's a 30-day running clock. It starts on the 21st of January, and it'll be done before the end of February. You'd be surprised how much happens, but it is a very unique system, and there's no one in Santa Fe answering those phones outside the session. But once the session kicks off on the 21st, you can call that legislative office. I also recommend email, and I'll give kudos to all the legislators for being relatively accessible, being responsive. You know, I worked in Washington, D.C. for a while before I came here to New Mexico to work in state policy. And, you know, you don't have the layers and layers of staff that you have to get through before you can actually sit down or hear from the legislator. You can actually drop them a line directly. Sometimes it's their own cell phone. But during the session, I recommend that office number, or email them and let them know you're interested in talking to them, or having coffee, or sharing specific issues that you're having and that you want them to know about.
Paul, right now we have a shorter session. Ornie mentioned it's a 30-day session. And sometimes we see that there's extensions calling for an extra couple days, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how frequent that happens. But who sets the agenda for what has to happen now in the next 30 days?
Well, that is one of those things that differs based on a 60 or 30-day session. In a 60-day session, you know, of course, the governor always has a role, no matter what party, whoever they are. But in a 30-day session, the governor, and of course this time it's a Democrat, she gets to put things on what they call the call, which is something that's germane or that can be considered under the rules that session. The governor has a lot more control over the topics to be addressed in the 30-day session. Traditionally, these are called budget sessions, but in New Mexico, and I think most states, they've always been pretty liberal with that. You're never just addressing the budget. There's always other issues that are being discussed in that 30-day session.
Paul, we already have a caller on the line. And by the way, if you want to talk this afternoon with Paul Gessing, you can call us at 505-338-5790. Frank is on the line, and he has a question about the shortage of educators, I guess, throughout the state. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Okay. How are you today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Go ahead.
Okay. When the school opened this year, there were vacancies in classrooms, in special education, in science, in math, in foreign language, and English is the second language. What does the Rio Grande Foundation propose to fill those vacancies?
Well, that is a big question, and I appreciate it. It's a very good question as well. Jim and I actually talked before the year end about, we did a whole show just about education, but your topic here really specifically involves training and hiring of teachers. Now, there's a lot of challenges. One, we've seen money flow into the education system largely due to the oil boom and the availability of that money. And some of that is flowing into teacher pay. And that's great. Now, our view is that we need to make sure we hire and retain high-quality teachers, and that can be done a lot of different ways. Our previous governor had her preference, and it may not be the best. One of the issues that we think needs to be addressed is teacher licensing. Teacher licensing in New Mexico is an onerous system, and it doesn't necessarily relate to quality. It's just a set of hoops and expenses and time that has to be invested in. Secondly, we could actually expand teacher pay in the short term, attract more younger people, more, you know, smart, ambitious people if we allowed the pension system to change. Right now, the pension system rewards, you know, people who stay in the system for 20 or so years. if you gave, you know, people, teachers, a 401k style defined contribution pension plan, or gave them the option to have that, then they wouldn't be putting their money into a system that they're never going to benefit from. They could teach for 3, 4, 5 years and give back to their communities and then move on to another career that they may want to do in the longer term. So those are two specific ideas that I would like to see improved. And, you know, there's a lot of others about the management of our schools and the lack of support they get from the principals and various issues kind of within the bureaucracy. You hear a lot. My kids are at an APS school. I hear from teachers at APS schools that have to spend all the money, thousands of dollars on supplies that otherwise should really be purchased by the schools and the district themselves. And, you know, just complaints about the conditions. But I wouldn't say that pay per se is going to be the difference maker for a lot of teachers. It might help, but it just paying them more isn't necessarily the solution.
Well, and Frank, we very much appreciate your question. Of course, it's a large question. We're going to be back after this break to talk a little bit more about Frank's question, visiting with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Stay with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
A Harvest America moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Millennials and Generation Z are the most stressed out generations ever. In fact, they've even dubbed now Generation Z the hopeless generation. How did we get to this place? Well, most studies reveal the problem, or something that contributes to the problem, is something I'm holding in my hand right now, a cell phone. This absolutely aggravates the situation. It's ironic. Wasn't it called social media? It seems to isolate us. It separates us. Listen, I have hope for the hopeless generation, because hope has a name, and it's Jesus Christ.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
Praying without ceasing is the key to unlocking power for clean living. If we want to live a pure life, the strength comes in our prayer life. That's where God gives us the ability. And I honestly have found in my life that when I pray without ceasing, it's an automatic course correction for sinful choices that I would make. I heard one old pastor put it this way. If you just don't do anything you couldn't do while you simultaneously pray, right? Yeah, that clears it up right there. Like, if you couldn't watch that movie and pray, if you couldn't be in that situation and pray, if you couldn't be doing what you're doing on that date, single people, and pray, but to think about the power that we can have. I think that the key in life is to remain. To remain.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The president of the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, is in studio with us. The Rio Grande Foundation conducts research and advocates reforms to promote public participation in government. And I want to say right now, Paul, one of the things we've got to encourage everybody that's listening to do today, if you are not registered to vote, register to vote. You can go right on your county website, like to burnco.gov, and you can go right in and register to vote. You can do that on the Sandoval County website. And I was at a meeting the leader of the Republican Party, former Congressman Steve Pierce, put together, and he made an interesting statement during this. This was back in September. He said, if we could get 50,000 people of faith, And this doesn't just mean people of faith. This really means anybody. But since our radio station is largely a faith-based mm-hmm. audience, he was saying that if we could get just 50,000 people, not even new voters, but 50,000 people, faith-based people to vote in municipal and state elections, the state literally could, totally get back to fiscal conservative kind of positions. Biblical, what we would consider to be biblical positions of morality in terms of abortion mm-hmm. and other kinds of things. And later on in the show, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about abortion, because last year, one of the big agendas of the governor was to promote the approval of a late-term abortion bill. and to erase from the New Mexico law book the regulations we have against abortion, which, of course, were all superseded by Roe v. Wade some years ago when that legislation was passed on the federal level. So, you know, we're going to ask you all about all these agendas, and I know that there's a lot to talk about. You and I, we could do this for 2 or 3 hours and probably never run out of topics. So I want to go back to Frank's question. He's obviously concerned that we don't have enough teachers, and you already postulated that maybe – a new retirement system and some ways to give incentivize people now instead of incentivizing people to be in the system for 20 or 25 years before they can retire.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of your research, do you look at other states and what other states are trying, and have you found some people that have some good ideas in this area?
Well, yes. Not specifically on teacher pay and retention. That's a pretty in the weeds aspect of policy. You know, it's relevant. It's incredibly important. But what we do is look at kind of the system as a whole, which states are and districts are doing better jobs with the resources they have, whatever they are doing. And one of the things I failed to mention in Frank's call is there's so many different answers and so many specific answers. One of the things we do in New Mexico is that we build very large and elaborate buildings. You know, we spend more money in our education system than Colorado, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, Utah. In fact, I just put this out today on social media. The per pupil spending in Albuquerque for Albuquerque Public Schools is over $18,500 per student. Mm. That's, you take their budget and divide it, and that's what you get. So there's plenty of money being spent. The question is whether it's being spent in the classroom and on the teachers and their ability to get the job done versus in other ways and things that may not be as directly beneficial to the students, but also the work conditions of the teachers in the classroom. Do they have the freedom to, if a kid is being disruptive, get them out of that classroom so that the teacher can actually teach the other students? There's a myriad problems and challenges.
Yes.
And not all states or no one state is doing everything great, but most states, quite frankly, are doing things better than New Mexico. They're getting better results with less money than we are. And that's where we need to really learn from those other states. I would point to Arizona. They lead the nation in school choice. That is a state that's doing more with less, with a similar population, similar demographics to New Mexico.
Well, and you've talked about school choice, and you talked about our former governor, Gary Johnson, having kind of spearheaded a lot of the school choice programs. That's kind of when the charter school program mm-hmm. started and so forth. And we have a number of charter schools that are part of they're under the State Board of Education, some actually under the auspices of APS. But most of the charter schools seem to be testing at a higher level. And I know that there are several tests, like there's a fourth grade reading and math mm-hmm. test. We seem to be at the bottom of the good list when it comes to those kind of test scores. They're tested again in middle school. They're tested again, high school graduation rates. Again, we're toward the bottom mm-hmm. of the good list nationally. When you compare APS to these, but a lot of the charter schools, and I understand some of the public schools in the southern part of the state are doing a really good job. And I guess I just asked the question, why can't we go look at those ideas, look at the things they've implemented, look at the cultures that they're promoting and implement those in Albuquerque Public Schools?
We could, it requires leadership. It requires thinking outside the existing system. And, you know, unfortunately, New Mexico's education system, both at the state and certainly at the APS level, tend to be captured by kind of a status quo mentality, led by, but not always. But generally speaking, the unions have a lot to say about education policy. They're very influential in Santa Fe. You go to a hearing about education, anything even closely related to education, and the unions are there, and they have they pretty much have a say so given the current climate in Santa Fe. So if you want to change that, if you want to get out of that, you have to get back to those elections and talking about who you send to Santa Fe to run the legislature and the governor's office as well.
Well, and obviously unions in, you know, manufacturing unions, teachers unions, all the big giant unions that we've had, I think they've all started with a pretty noble cause. And maybe they still have a noble cause, but at the same time, I see a lot of these organizations that seem like they're busy perpetuating their own existence instead of necessarily taking care of. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that a lot of times it needs to be evaluated. Are they doing the best thing for the teachers? For example, a child that acts up in class, what is a teacher actually able to do? I don't expect you to answer that question because I know there's a zillion rules, but can an administrator, can a teacher, can you actually get that disruptive child out of class, put them in some kind of program or somehow deal with them to help them? Because obviously there's some other issues, could be family issues, could be mental health issues, could be, you know, just they may have an educational challenge that somebody hasn't identified. I mean, there's a million different things. And I don't know if one education system like APS can be equipped to handle all of those situations.
Well, again, it's tough for us as a policy organization to get into the weeds and specific issues with specific school districts. But here's what I would say. With regard to the unions, we have no problem with unions. I know that that would surprise a lot of people who tend to knee-jerk support the unions. But I would say that in a competitive free market, think package delivery. UPS is overwhelmingly unionized, 75%. FedEx is overwhelmingly non-unionized, 25%. Yet they're competing on the merits, on their business models, and the unions have to work within that realm. The problem in education is that it's a government-run monopoly and a heavily unionized one at that. So I have no problems with teachers being in unions just like anybody else, but let's have a competitive education system where the schools have to compete and the districts have to compete and whoever for those resources and for those children. And then you'll see, I think, the unions behave in a little more rational way. But right now, because we do have this taxpayer-sponsored monopoly system of education in this country, the unions get very tied into the status quo very quickly. And that's unfortunate for our kids because really the education system should be about how do we educate our children the most effectively. And I don't see that discussion happening enough in Santa Fe.
Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with us this afternoon. And he's got a few positives we're going to talk about after this break that's going on in New Mexico government. And we're going to talk about the issues coming up in the 30-day legislative session that starts toward the end of the month. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
We are so thankful for the blessing of living in this great country. We pray God will bless you and your family in the coming year. Happy New Year from Advanced On-Site Protection.
What kind of Bible student are you? Casual? Serious? Totally dedicated? Whichever describes you, here's a fast fact about improving your studies. Beyond listening and reading, here are two proven ways to make your Bible study more effective. Write down what you learn, then tell someone else about it. How good is that? Your understanding of the Bible can be improved in 2020 and beyond. That's why we want to put a Bible from 30,000 Feet workbook in your hands and into your life. Remember, a quick overview of a passage or even an entire book may be helpful, but to really appreciate the full landscape of Scripture across all 66 books, you need something more than a snapshot. We want to help you grasp the full scope of principles of Scripture with the companion workbook to Skip Heitzig's study, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. We'll send you your copy of The Bible from 30,000 Feet workbook when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to keep this program on air and connect more people to God's Word. To give today, call 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
The new year is filled with possibilities. Let's ensure unborn babies get to enjoy those same possibilities. We at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico wish you and your family a happy new year as we celebrate life.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
This is Jesse Dumfries, your local State Farm agent. May this year be a year of health and happiness, peace and prosperity, love and laughter. Happy New Year.
Jesse Dumfries, State Farm agent. 505-294-4422. JesseDompre.com.
King David, a man after God's own heart. He's the only person in Scripture called that. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
It mystifies us, really, because we know David. We've read the rest of the story. A man after God's own heart committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her husband drunk, killed him off.
The reason for this title shows us an important thing about God.
Don't think that that means perfect, because it wasn't. He had flaws. Another translation puts it this way: a man after God's own mind.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
It's as if God is saying, I don't see David in his sin. I know his sin. But I'm seeing David with the potential for David to be something other than that. A man after my heart, my mind.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig YouTube channel.
Just think what God can do through you, no matter what your past is. What God can do through you.
God can do through you.
A man or woman sold out to God.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is in studio with me this afternoon. And Paul, you've got some good things to say about New Mexico government, things that have happened in 2019 and lead us into this new year. What are some of the positives?
Well, I hate to burst your bubble. Not 2019. We have some good things coming in 2020, I hope. Okay. And so we're on the lookout for these during the 30-day session. First and foremost, of course, we have that huge money inflow from the Permian Basin. When Governor Susana Martinez left office, just a little, let's see, almost a year ago, just 1 year ago, the budget was $6.3 billion, the general fund budget. The latest revenue estimates are for $7.882 billion for the general fund. That's up from about $7 billion when the 2019 session got kicked off. So we're seeing massive growth in revenue. Now, like I said, 2019, they spent it all. Taxes were even raised. It was a tough session. But I think we see a little more of a rational approach coming in 2020. We've been talking for years about the gross receipts tax. And folks in New Mexico don't always understand this and see this. But a contractor, somebody who is not an employee, but they come to you and they are selling a service, could be as simple as bookkeeping or web hosting, lawyers and doctors, somebody building a new swimming pool for you, a new building, whatever. They have to charge you here in Albuquerque 7.875% tax. That doesn't happen in a lot of circumstances in businesses around the country. Very few other states have a gross receipts tax. We could see action, and there's been serious bipartisan discussion about removing that tax on business inputs through contractors in the 2020 session. So that's one really positive thing. The other is public employee pension reform. Public employees, we talked a little bit about teachers. They're in one plan, the ERB, Education Retirement Board, but the PERA, Public Employee Retirement Association, basically anybody outside of the teachers and the education system are in that PERA, and that is being seriously discussed for reform in the 2020 session. It's a combination of a little bit more money coming in from taxpayers, but a little more money coming in from the workers to help that system become balanced and, you know, so keep that system viable so that it doesn't unduly burden either the taxpayers or the government employees down the road. And it's something, again, that's kind of a bipartisan deal and we're hoping for in 2020.
So when you have both sides of the aisle behind an issue, it sounds like to me that if it's the majority's idea, you have to get the minority party to vote for it. And you may have some positive things along those lines regarding gross receipts tax and retirement reform, pension reform.
Exactly. The gross receipts tax has long been an issue of concern for policymakers across the aisle. From the left, Democrats tend to see it as a fairness issue. It's a regressive policy. The regressive thing is simply that, you know, you have poor people unduly impacted by this tax. The fairness thing, you know, some people some industries have gotten exemptions from the gross receipts tax. So the idea is also to hopefully lower rates on that gross receipts tax. We've seen significant creep upward in terms of the rates on the gross receipts tax. So hopefully getting some of that reduced and the rates down and more equity in the system. Of course, you know, more conservative, more free market people are concerned with the impact on the business climate, the ability for New Mexico to attract certain businesses. And so I think there's that agreement on the gross receipts tax. On the pension thing, you know, again, from the left perspective, they don't want the pension system kind of eating the state budget. They want to see that system on a firm footing. They want to see those employees taken care of. And the same thing from the right, you know, you've got a philosophy that you don't want to see the pension system result in higher taxes and, you know, more economic problems down the road. So on both of those issues, there is bipartisan agreement. And those are, you know, really
Paul, how do police officers and their benefits and retirement, does that fit into this?
Yeah, that's PERA. Well? That's okay. PERA. That the, like, anybody who's a public employee who's not in the education system. So that's ERB is educator. So it's both need to be addressed. And we would actually, quite frankly, like to see additional reforms. I mentioned kind of this hybrid model where younger people have an option to go into a defined contribution model. You know, pensions are an old style thing. They're an old style.
And most of these are not, they are what you would call an unfunded pension. So the money that's paid out is actually a line item on the state budget. Is that correct?
Well, that's what we're trying to move towards, is a more funded model.
Right.
What you don't want to do, you know,
Well, a business. If you're in a 401k with a business, and right, they're matching you with stock, or they're making contributions, that is a funded program.
Right.
Based on what, you know, investment markets are doing.
Right. Well, in theory, even in a pension system, the defined benefit model, you have money that's set aside by the government ahead of time that's invested in to pay for future benefits. But what a lot of states have gotten into, and we're trying to avoid here in New Mexico, is a system where, you know, you've just got these pensions liabilities built up, and then you have to come up with the money. That's very difficult. It's one of those apocryphal Einstein quotes, the most powerful force in the universe is compound interest. You know, the last thing you want to do is be facing line items on your budget. This is what Illinois is dealing with, California is dealing with. And if we let this go more into the future.
You're describing Social Security. That's exactly what this is on a federal level.
Exactly. The only difference I would say is that in the pensions, you are factoring in a rate of increase. Social Security, really, if it was invested in the market, you would get a much, much superior rate of return to what you're getting out of Social Security. And that rate is factored in. It's a very low rate. But yeah, the point is spot on. Yeah, they're both similar in many, many respects. So those are the two major positive initiatives we see room for in the 2020 session.
What are the focus issues that you'll be focusing on and zeroing in on as the legislative session begins?
Well, those are two, but I think the biggest overarching goal for us in this session is really we have in New Mexico an unprecedented opportunity that never even happens in the history of many states with this oil and gas money. We're talking about, you know, 27% growth in the state budget in basically 2 years. That is crazy. How does New Mexico get beyond relying on the two things that have really carried us this far since statehood, the federal government and the oil and gas industry? We support very strongly the oil and gas industry. This is not a knock on them at all, but we just need more diverse options for New Mexico, for employers. When gas prices are down at the pump, we need to be able to have some other options, some other businesses. We don't have any Fortune 500 companies headquartered in New Mexico. We don't have a lot of big free market oriented companies that set up shop here for a lot of reasons. We want to be more attractive like our neighbors are for these kinds of businesses. And it's an investment that'll happen that'll pay dividends over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And that's really what we're trying to get done here in New Mexico. So what are we doing with this unique one-time opportunity with oil and gas money to make New Mexico's economy less reliant on those two industries and bring prosperity and economic success to a state that has been an island of poverty in the Southwest for way too long?
Well, Paul, there have been some things that have been attempted. For example, many people may remember back when Bill Richardson was governor, he gave some money to the solar industry. And most of that investment was gone after 2 or 3 years because the companies that their business was underwritten by some grants and funding from the state.
Shot Solar was the company.
Yeah, I mean, they're gone. They're bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that money was thrown into the wind. Now, that's not a criticism, really, of Bill Richardson. There was an attempt there to have something done. So what is the answer? How do you help? Of course, we've had the director of the New Mexico Film Office in. We've talked about several times about the incentives that filmmakers have to come into the state. Essentially, and in general, we reimburse them 25% of what they spend on a film, and that comes right out of the state budget. So there's a lot of discussion about whether we actually make money as a community, whether it's really an economic benefit. I know a lot of people have some nice jobs. In fact, when we opened up the phones, we had a lot of people that are involved in the film office or New Mexico Films, everybody from equipment suppliers to security companies to you name it, were calling saying, yeah, this is great. We have great jobs. We're paid over $50,000 a year as an individual, blah, 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 which is great. But is it overall benefiting our state? So I'm not saying that's positive or negative. I'm saying there's a lot of questions about how to put together the math. But there doesn't seem to be very much debate when you underwrite Shot Solar and they file bankruptcy 2 years later and that money's blowing in the wind.
Yeah. Well, pretty simply, Rio Grande Foundation and quite frankly, most economists across the political spectrum will say that politicians picking single industries or even worse, single companies is not the way to go. Because a lot of these companies will come along and say, hey, we're doing the latest and greatest thing, whatever it might be, and you should give us money or give us some nice tax exemptions. And then, like Shot Solar, they're not there in the near future. And Eclipse Aviation, even bigger bust, more famous example, there's a lot of different examples you could cite and look at. In New Mexico and around the country, Solyndra being, the one that kind of at the national level is widely acknowledged and considered. But industries and favoring specific industries by handing them checks for being here, like the film, is not definitely something that we support either. What we like to do is provide tax cuts or tax reform across the board to then let New Mexico be more overall competitive with our neighboring states and then be more attractive to those businesses. Texas is, in many ways, the ideal example across the country. Texas is an oil and gas state. They've always been. But they also have zero income tax, their right to work, they have a favorable regulatory environment, and they've been able to diversify. So when the country goes into a lower gas price time, Texas continues to generate jobs and economic growth and be a magnet for people and those kinds of things, regardless of what's happening in the oil patch. And I'm not saying New Mexico is ever going to be like Texas, but we should look at Texas as one real model. And it doesn't have to be the only one. All the states surrounding us are doing very well economically, fast-growing populations, fast-growing economies, oftentimes without the benefit of the oil and gas money that we have here in New Mexico.
Well, you're talking about several hundred thousand dollars of overage, growth of, I think you said, 23% in the state budget?
Yep, last 2 years.
So if we have that large growth, I mean, I'm an old banker. So when we used to take a look at a business, I often thought that I would find a business that was paying its owner a nice salary. But then on top of that, there would be what we would call profit. And the net operating income of a business would be pretty substantial. And what we found in almost every business is that, sure, the owners might be taking $300,000 out of the business, but after they took that money, there was very little left over. And there wasn't a lot of reinvestment, and those kind of companies didn't do well. So if an owner took a more reasonable salary of, say, $150,000, they may reinvest $150,000 back in, and those companies seem to be more successful. And some of those companies would be absorbed by larger companies, and you would sell it. But overall, you don't see very many business owners building up what I would call equity, retained earnings in a business. They're kind of breaking even. And they might make a reasonable salary, but they're not really building equity. Seems like our state is that way. We have this big overage. Are we just going to go spend it?
Well, that's actually an excellent question, very complicated question, because I would actually first and foremost say that business and state government don't necessarily operate under the same principles.
Sure.
Economically. For example, you know, a business in saving money and investing it for the future is much different from the state and what it does. Now, during the last session, and the folks in Santa Fe, the governor, et cetera, would say, oh, we did a good job. We held back some of this money. And they did. And we also have these permanent funds. But those permanent funds don't do much for the state as a whole when times go bad, because state can't prop up the overall economy. State spending can't prop up the overall economy. So if you have these funds available, that's great. But what you need are jobs and opportunities for people. And you need to diversify the economy, grow the overall economy first, not worry so much about saving money in the government's checkbooks and various other funds.
Gotcha. Well, we got a lot more to talk to Paul about. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this thing called free college that Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is talking about. We'll be back with Paul Gessing. Stay with us.
It's 2020, not just a new year, but the start of a new decade. Will this be the time you're going to get rich, be successful, build wealth?
You can be poor of this world's goods and rich toward God. Or you can be rich in this world and poor toward God.
Billy Graham with a warning about storing up treasures on earth.
Regardless of your earthly possessions, many of you tonight are poor toward God. You have spiritual poverty.
Spiritual poverty means that you are separated from God. And you can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy your way to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ can save your soul.
Christ died on the cross to make every one of you a spiritual millionaire. And that's what you can become tonight if you put your trust and your faith and your confidence in Him.
Learn more about doing that at findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say.
I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Are you tired of being shouted into the same old dealerships just so they can pull the same old gimmicks and games? We get it, and we're different at Power Ford. We don't shout prices because we guarantee we'll always give you the best price. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Plus, you'll get a 100,000-mile warranty on us. We're two-time Dealer of the Year and Best of the City for a reason. You. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, he is in studio with us. The Rio Grande Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute. They're dedicated to increasing liberty and prosperity for all New Mexico citizens. Obviously, Paul, you're strongly opinionated on a lot of different issues. Our audience is largely faith-based. You know, a lot of people are going to read the Bible, and they want to try to equate, hey, you know, what would God want us to do in these kind of issues? And I think if I'm going to offer my opinion, mm-hmm. It's just an opinion. Number one, we need to really – I think all of us understand issues of morality. We start talking about late-term abortion and all the things I've had – the Right to Life Committee, Ethel Maharg on. Mm-hmm. I've had Vince Torres with the Family Policy Alliance, and they're very gracious to come in and say, look, what people don't understand is we're not just talking about abortion. We're talking about euthanasia. We're talking about people wanting to have the right to terminate life, period, mm-hmm. Without real checks and balances. And so as a person of faith, as a Christian person, we've got to consider, you know, what our listeners, we want to try to encourage them to vote according to the way their faith is interpreted and the way they believe the Bible says they should act. But the first thing they have to do is they have to register to vote. Sure. They have to want to get involved in the political process. We have a political commentator, local businessman, Steve McKee, mm-hmm. Who's a friend of yours also, yep. And you know him well. And Steve has talked to us many times about how our state needs to be competitive on a world basis and an international basis, how we need to have great training. We need to increase the quality of our education, which we've already kind of addressed. Frank called earlier, and I understand that we actually have a number for Frank. He's written a book, and we didn't have a chance to talk to him a long time today because we're going through all of these issues about the New Mexico legislative session. And but there's a lot, and it all starts with, number one, we have to all be willing to learn, which I'm so appreciative of you coming in, because people can go to your website. Why don't you give us that one more time?
RioGrandeFoundation.org.
And all kinds of great topics. And I'm not telling our listeners to go in there and agree with everything that you say, but it's great information. And there's other people that we talk with that have similar types of goals. They want people to be informed about the issues and what's going on. Paul, your website is going to be identifying things going on in the legislative session, and you have a blog. Mm-hmm. A link to the blog is on that website as well.
Yeah. So the Freedom Index is a link at riograndefoundation.org that allows you to track your legislators, track the issues that they're dealing with, look at past sessions like 2019 and what happened and how they voted then, because that was a very impactful session. And then our blog is errorsofenchantment.com. And we post additional commentary and thoughts on the issues of the day. You can sign up for email alerts. We have events. We have folks come in and talk about various issues. And we have a podcast as well. If you're not getting enough listening material on ABQ Connect or other radio options, we definitely try to educate and inform through a wide variety of different products through my organization.
So now there's a pile of money because we have a surplus above and beyond. And you've already kind of stated that business doesn't run the same as a savings account that a person would have or a business would have. The state basically has to spend the money that they have on a yearly basis. And you're asking them to invest in things that are going to produce jobs, produce better education, attract the best and brightest to our education system as far as teachers and so forth go. Well, now there's a thing on the table that kind of has to do with this. The governor has proposed free college for New Mexico students. I immediately have alarms going off in my head about how much is this really going to cost, because when a politician says something is free, doesn't that mean that they're just dividing up the cost to all the taxpayers?
Well, that pretty much is the definition of free when it comes to government policy. Yeah. Because, you know, folks often think, well, government is going to do this. Government is going to do that. Well, government only gets their money by either taking it from you and I or taking it off the top of a major industry like oil and gas. So there's no money tree out in the backyard of the roundhouse where the politicians go and get all their free money. What you mean by government is going to do X, Y, and Z is government's going to take this money out of the economy as a whole, and they're going to do something that they want to do with it. Now, there's some things that government should do and can do that's probably better than what we would do in the free market. But I don't think free college is the right approach for a variety of reasons. The most obvious, we had a very lengthy discussion in the show about the K-12 education system and its shortcomings and challenges. I think we need to really work on the basics, which we have pretty widely acknowledged that K-12 is the purview of government. They have not done necessarily a great job, certainly in New Mexico. So how can we improve that? Because quite frankly, we have a large percentage, maybe over 50% of our students who aren't even prepared to go to college. So how is that benefiting those students by providing so-called free college? There's a lot of other issues. Also the jobs, you know, we need jobs in multiple different business sectors in the state of New Mexico to keep our students here. Because if we do educate these students at taxpayer expense and don't have job opportunities for them, all we're doing with free college is training the future workforces of Texas and Arizona and, you know, it could be Florida or Washington State or whatever other state you pick. That's not a very good use of tax money either.
So no.
It's a very interesting, but I think flawed in its current form proposal.
So the free college plan on your website, you're projecting, or whoever's proposed it is projecting, spending $25 to $35 million.
That's what the governor's office says.
That normally means that we're really going to spend $70 to $100 million.
Which is more along the lines of what we've said.
Right.
At the Rio Grande Foundation.
And that is an awful lot of money to train people that can't find a job in New Mexico.
And not everybody can't find a job. There's some people who can and some people who will. But you're right. Yeah, it is. Our economy is not as diverse as it could or should be. And the student population coming out of school, chances are, given even where New Mexico is right now, which is relatively in a good position, they're going to have much better opportunities, much better paying opportunities in a lot of our neighboring states. And what does that mean? How does this benefit our students in our economy if that's what we're doing, is sending our younger people out of state? So there's just so many aspects to it. And one of the reports that had come out after the governor put this forth, it was in the Albuquerque Journal over the holidays, I think, is a memorandum of understanding somehow that these universities and colleges in New Mexico that are getting this program, getting students into this program, free college, would be required to not raise tuition as quickly as they might otherwise. Because you provide a new pot of money to these bureaucracies, chances are they're going to want to just expand their own pie and spend more money. Whether it benefits the students or the state of New Mexico as a whole is really open to question.
Well, Paul, we really intended today to go over the whole legislative session. It's going to be jam-packed in 30 days, as you've already stated, starting around the 21st?
21st of January, yeah. 21st of January. 30-day straight, 30 days after that.
Well, let's talk about two other issues. Last year, late-term abortion was a big, big push. In my opinion, again, my opinion, I think the Catholic Church stepped up big time. We had a lot of conservative Democrat, Catholic people in our state step up and say, no, we're throwing this bill out. We're not going to pass it. There was also gun, regulation that was proposed, and many of the counties throughout New Mexico, the great majority of them adopted the language of the Democratic Party, saying not only are we going to reject this gun control, but we're now going to become sanctuary gun counties. And so they were absolutely saying they believe that Americans need to have that. Now, I'm one of those people, I still can't understand why we give guns to criminals and why background checks are necessarily a bad thing. So I think there's got to be some middle ground there. But let me ask you about the last thing. I understand that the legalization of marijuana is going to be a huge deal. You only have a couple seconds to answer this question. What do you think about the legalization of marijuana?
So we at the Rio Grande Foundation do look at criminal justice issues. We do not want people to be put in jail and incarcerated in the criminal justice system for ingesting a substance. And so in that regard, we're certainly supportive of efforts to get people who go to, you know, use marijuana, not put them in jail. How much the government's going to take and how they're going to profit from the legalization of marijuana is another issue entirely. And I think we're going to have to leave it right there.
Paul, I can't wait to have you on toward the end of the month if you're going to have some time. Paul Gessing, thanks. Rio Grande Foundation. We'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.